Then when he was come into Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things that he did at Jerusalem, at the feast, for they also went unto the feast. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman, whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him, and besought him, that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, Except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down, ere my child die. Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, Yesterday at the seventh hour the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, Thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Galilee, out of Judea into Galilee. So once again, the Lord will bless this priceless section of his holy word. Once again, we are looking at our basic scripture in Acts 2:22. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you, by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the presence of you all. We suggested there was a difference between a miracle, a wonder, and a sign. Remember, the miracle is the supernatural power of Christ in display. The wonder is the superlative or the effect that the miracle had on those that saw the miracle. And the sign is the spiritual significance. The Revised Version changes the word here in John's Gospel, miracle, to sign, and there is a reason. It's a spiritual significance. Once again, there's a special selection of 8 miracles or 8 signs in John's Gospel. 7 before his crucifixion and 1 after his resurrection. And alongside these signs, we're going by the help of the Lord to bring one of the Lord's divine titles. Now, the first miracle we saw the other evening, the first sign was the turning of the water into wine. And we suggested that the divine title there should be Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. Ezekiel, the last chapter, the last verse, in the margin, Jehovah Shammah. Beloved friends, what a joy it is to put our finger toward our heart and say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. To take our finger and point it toward a Christian home and say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. And to point our finger to the local church and say, Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. There is a selection, and once again, they're running in sequence. This is the second miracle we read that Jesus did. The second miracle, they are running in chronological order. Now we will draw alongside this miracle, this sign, the Lord's divine title, Jehovah Rapha, I am the God that healeth thee. Our God has the potential, the ability to heal anyone in keeping with his will. In the 103rd Psalm we read, He forgiveth all our iniquities and healeth all our diseases. In Jeremiah 30:17, I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. Our God is still in the healing business, according to his will. The key word we saw in the first miracle was obedience. Whatsoever he says unto you, do it. We saw that he demanded conversion. He demands capitulation. Be not conformed to this world. And he demands communion. This do in remembrance of me. The key to the first sign is obedience. But I suggest to you tonight that the key to this second sign, the healing of the nobleman's son, the key word is faith. Faith. You and I must exercise faith in relation to creation. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. There's much confusion amongst intellectuals today as to the origin of the universe. I was in North Carolina, picked up a quote from a local newspaper, and they put that billion-dollar telescope called the Hubble telescope into outer space, $1 billion, and it's not working. And this gentleman says, we're spending all kinds of money to determine where we came from and not one thought as to where we're going. How true that is. But we must exercise faith in relation to creation. Closing his presidential address to the Royal Society assembled in Cape Town in 1912, Dr. Darwin, nephew of Charles Darwin of Evolution Faith, said, as yet, the riddle of the universe remains unsolved. Why then do men of renown not turn to the only book which solves the problem in these words? By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. This solution has held it for ages. It holds it today, and when Darwin, that was his uncle, and his discredited theory are remembered no more, it will still be maintained. God spake, worlds were. We have to approach the subject of creation by faith. Also, relative to the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. Men tell us it's a biological impossibility, but nothing is impossible with God. The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee. The power of the High shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So it takes faith to accept the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus. Creation. The virgin birth. But also we must exercise faith toward salvation. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith. And faith makes future things a present reality, unseen things actual. Faith. In our subject tonight, we are introduced first of all to the prophet of faith. And that is the Lord Jesus. A prophet hath no honor in his own country. The prophet of faith. Remember, friends, he is the author and the finisher of faith. The prophet of faith. And to the credit of those Galileans, he was despised in Jerusalem, but these Galileans, they received him. They received him. What does the Bible say? To as many as receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. What does it mean to believe? It means to receive. To receive him into our lives for salvation by faith. They received him. Just 3 weeks ago, my wife Peggy and I went to a funeral parlor. And there, lying in the casket, was a lady, 92 years old. On her 87th birthday, I went to visit her. I knew her mum and dad when I came to the U.S. in 1953. I pointed her sister to the Lord, and I knew that this lady, Margaret Johnson was her name, was not saved. And I went to her in the nursing home, and I want to make sure she was absolutely accurate in her thinking. And I spoke about her mum and dad. And she said to me, if anybody had a right to be in heaven, it was my mum and dad. They loved the Lord Jesus. I says, Margaret, what about you? Well, she said, I'm not saved, but I'd like to see my mum and dad again. Well, I said, here is the way. Read Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him, and he with me. She says, I'm prepared to do it. The old lady in the next bed says, don't do it. She says, I will do it. And put her trust in the Savior. I wanted to make absolutely sure of the transaction. I said, Margaret, what did Jesus do for you? And I was thrilled. She hadn't been in a meeting for years, but she recalled her Sunday school days. I said, what did Jesus do for you? He died, a king crucified, to save a poor sinner like me. I said, praise the Lord. So we looked into the casket, and that dear soul, now 92, with the Lord. Our daughter came up to me and said, you were the gentleman that spoke to my mother. Oh, what a wonderful joy to be able to point a soul to the Savior. The prophet of faith. But notice also the place of faith. The place of here, place of faith here, was in Cana of Galilee. What was the significance of Cana of Galilee? That's where the first miracle took place. Cana of Galilee, remember, there was a wedding. And that was the place of felicity. That was a place of joy. A wedding, according to the word of God, that was the place of purity. God's ideal is the undefiled for the undefiled. And the wedding at Cana of Galilee, it was a place not only of felicity and purity, but it was a place of unity, where two become one. The place of faith for you and me is not Cana of Galilee, but the place called Calvary. That's the place of felicity. That's the place of joy. And you will never have joy until you come to the prophet of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. And you always associate gladness with a wedding. And the moment we accept the Lord as a personal Savior, He gives us a song of gladness. He brought me up out of the miry clay, set my feet up on a rock, and put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto the Lord, a song of gladness. My beloved colleague, Boy Nicholson, when I had my first massive heart attack, was in Ottawa on his knees praying all night. And at 4 a.m, he says, Lord, if it's at all possible, spare my partner and give me a verse. And his Bible opened at Jeremiah 30:17. I will restore health unto thee and heal thee of thy wounds. I was in intensive care and had a terrible night with pericarditis, the inflammation of the pericardium. I thought I was going. But here, he got a message in Ottawa. He called my wife. It says, tell my brother that the sun will shine again. And we'll preach together again. And I'm in intensive care. But he was right. And the first time we preached together again was in Hamilton, Ontario. A couple were invited to the meeting with their daughter. And they went out, obviously disturbed, got into the car, and the daughter broke down in tears. I love the Christian. She says, Mom and Dad, how could you ever go out of that meeting tonight and not get saved? The dad says, honey, you're right. Let's go back in again. And they came back into the Gospel Chapel, West 5th, in the Hamilton, Ontario. We pointed them to the Savior, Don and Lois Wessels, their name. And I tell you, they were trophies of grace. And they work endlessly at a camp, Lilola, in New York State. When the transaction was over, we tried to sing. Tears flowing like Niagara. Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. Calvary is the place of felicity. It's a place of joy for us. But for him, it was a place of sorrow. Man of sorrows, what a name. For the Son of God who came ruined sinners to proclaim. Hallelujah. What a Savior. And for us, the place of faith, Calvary, not only the place of felicity, but the place of purity. We are ungodly in our sin. We're just like the bride in the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, who says, I am as black as the tents of Kedar. But we are washed white through the blood of the Lamb. He gives us purity. John in his epistle says that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from some sin, all sin. And we stand accepted in the beloved. Place of purity. And for us, Calvary, the place is also the place of unity. We are linked for eternity to Jesus. We're members one of the same body, and he is the risen head. Two became one at Cana of Galilee, and we become one in Jesus, our blessed Lord. One day soon we're going to a wedding, the marriage supper of the Lamb. At the wedding of Cana of Galilee and every other wedding, all eyes are on the bride. Isn't she lovely? And the poor old bridegroom's a nervous wreck. And in that day, all eyes will be on the bridegroom. The bride eyes not her garment, but her dear bridegroom's face. I will not gaze at glory, but on the King of grace. Not at the crown he giveth, but on his pierced hand. The Lamb is all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Oh, thank God for Calvary. In the same city, Hamilton, Ontario, was an old gentleman, Thompson by name, and he was completely out of it. His mind, he didn't know anyone. The nurse said to him one morning, we've got to have a little exercise. Where will we go? He said, we'll go to the place called Calvary. In his mind, endorsed by the Holy Spirit, Calvary, the greatest, sweetest, loveliest place on earth. The prophet of faith and the place of faith. Notice with me the path of faith. He came unto him. The path of faith. He was a nobleman. He was, in other words, a ruler. He had a place of authority. He didn't go to a politician to help him in his need. he was a member of the Sanhedrin, he didn't go to a religious leader, because neither the politicians or the religious leaders could help him. We thank the Lord for men in authority who are honest, but don't go to them for peace of soul. You have to come to Jesus, the Lord. Religion cannot save your soul. I have a dear friend up in Long Island, New York, Norman Simpson, and he was over in St. Paul's Cathedral last year. Going around was the cleric with his long robe. And so my friend said to him, "Sir, I would like to ask you a few questions." "Well," he says, "I know a few things about this structure and what have you." "Oh," he said, "I'm thinking about spiritual questions." So he said to him, "Can you tell me how to get to heaven?" "Oh, well," he says, "if you attend the church as best you can and try and fulfill the Ten Commandments, you might make it." My friend says, "Sir, but what about the subject that the Lord said to a religious leader, you must be born again?" "Oh," he says, "that's Lutheranism," and went away in disgust. A cleric in St. Paul's Cathedral. Politicians can't help us, religious leaders can't help us, but he knew the right source. He came unto that, my friend, is an absolute necessity to know that we must come to Jesus. Unto him. Jacob, as he reviewed the 12 tribes, said, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor the lawgiver from between his feet, till Shiloh come." And listen to this. "And unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Him. In the book of Zechariah chapter 10, we read, "Out of him, the cornerstone, out of him, the nail, out of him, the battle bow, and out of him, the absolute ruler." He's our cornerstone. He is our nail. He is our battle bow. He is the mighty victor. And he is the absolute ruler. King of kings. And Lord of lords, he came unto him. The poet says, "In Christ there's love abounding. In him, redeeming grace. In him, my daily manna. In him, my hiding place. In him there is atonement, in him eternal life, in him a full salvation, in him an end of strife." That, my friend, was the path of faith to the Lord Jesus. The incomparable one. The impeccable one. And his heart was breaking as he left his boy. "Come down ere my child die." And he made the long journey from Capernaum to Cana of Galilee to heaven. We're not asking you to go to Cana of Galilee, but tonight if you're here not saved, oh, come to him. He's here. Willing to save to the uttermost. Oh, I will come to him and live. The path of faith. Unto him. Some years ago, we were in Scotland, a place called Peterhead. There was a man who spent years in the penitentiary. And after many, many years in the penitentiary, he was released. A friend of mine, one of the elders in the assembly, was standing waiting on a bus. And the bus came, and a voice said, "Not this one." It was the voice of the Holy Spirit. The bus went on. The next bus came in. He's waiting for the signal, and the bottom compartment was all filled up. And then the voice says, "Now." Nah. It was the Holy Spirit. And he did go upstairs into the smoking section, and he sat down next to this jailbird. His name was Finney Fraser. They exchanged greetings. They knew each other well. And my friend said to him, "How's things going?" Told him, "Just released from prison." The jailbird said to my friend, this is Buller. His name was Buller Buckin. This is Buller. "I saw that you lost your dad recently in the newspaper." And Buller Buckin began to weep. He says, "But my dad was ready to go." The jailbird says, "I wish I could say that." He says, "Man, are you for real?" He said, "I wish I could say that I was ready to meet my God." They got off the bus. He just secured himself a little job as a watchman on a housing project. They got down on their knees in that little hut, and the jailbird came to Christ. He said, "I've got to tell my wife." So Buller Buckin and Finney Fraser wided their way to his hut. He knocked at the door, didn't go in. His wife came to the door, and he's weeping with tears of joy. She said, "Whatever happened to you?" He said, "I just got saved." She says, "The God that could make Finney Fraser weep will be my God too." She never saw him weep before. And she came to Christ. So he asked the brethren if it would be possible to speak in the open air. Just say. They said, "Well, make your words few and accurate." There was over 100 there at the open air. 700 gathered for the gospel meeting. But before the open air was scheduled, he went down to the police station where he was well known. And he spoke to the sergeant. He said, "Sergeant, I've got news for you. I'm now a child of God." "Oh," the sergeant said, "I heard that you had joined the brethren." "Oh, no, no," he says. "I joined Jesus." The sergeant said, "Well, that was the best thing, Finney, that you could ever have done." He said, "Sergeant, it's the best thing that you could do." And the dear man, we were there, got out and gave his testimony in a few words, how the Lord saved the next jailbird. He came to him. He lived in abject and absolute poverty. And so the brethren thought they would take a collection to help him out of his problem. He says, "No. I got into this mess myself, and by God's grace, I'll get out of it." He was depending on him. The path of faith. We have looked at the prophet of faith, the Lord Jesus. The place of faith, Cana of Galilee, the same as the first miracle. And the path of faith for us is Calvary. And the path of faith unto him. Now what does the Hebrew epistle say? He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Friends, that takes me now to the price of faith. The price of faith. When you become a Christian, be assured it's going to cost you something. If you are in reality a born-again Christian, it will cost you something. "If any man come after me," said the Lord Jesus, "let him take up his cross and follow me." It's no path of roses. The Christian path, if we are living for the Lord, will be one that will be costly. Costly. Just 3.5 years ago, we were here, one of my spiritual children came and spent a few days with us, Eleanor Burke. 2 years ago, I married her, and just in June, Peggy and I spent the night with her and her husband and her newborn baby. Her mom and dad lived in Burlington, Ontario, and she knew that Boyd Nicholson and I were having meetings in Toronto. And every night, they got the four kids into the car and headed for Toronto. Night after night, the price of faith. And what a joy it was to point Eleanor and her brother to the Savior in Toronto. Sometime later, we were having meetings in Hamilton, Ontario, and the parents got the four kids into the car and headed for Hamilton, Ontario, night after night, and the other two got saved. The price of faith. And I've known Christians who have lost their job because of their faith. In Rhode Island, a dear friend of mine had a big job in a bank, and because he would not manipulate the records to suit the company, the group responsible, he lost his job. I know a brother up in New Brunswick, Canada, during his lunch hour, he's giving out tracts and preaching the gospel. He was an engineer, and he said, no, he lost his job. The price of faith. But I tell you something, there's a great reward for such people. Just recently, I've seen young couples, husbands losing their wives and vice versa because they became Christians. The price of faith. The Lord says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusted in thee. He will have the peace of faith. Sir, come down ere my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. His heart was filled with anxiety when he left Capernaum. And now through faith he accepts the word of the Lord Jesus, thy son liveth. And he believed the word of the Lord Jesus. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. Friend, have you believed the word of the Lord Jesus? He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth in him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And that's how you get saved, by believing the word of the Lord who cannot lie. Balaam, a preacher, he says, God cannot lie. Yet Balaam tonight is in hell. He recognized the purity of divine persons, but missed it. Oh, how gratifying to believe the word of the Lord Jesus, that he's the God that cannot lie. Thy son liveth. The peace of faith. If you read the context here, he was in no hurry to go home. He had, if you will, a little time of relaxation on the way home. How do we know? Because when they said, at the seventh hour, the fever left him, and the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. He took an extra day to go home, because he believed in the word of the Lord Jesus that his boy had been healed. The peace of faith. He had meetings in Detroit, Michigan. And the correspondent, John Barclay, his wife, worked in the home as a home help in the home of an ex-Jesuit priest. Spent 13 years in a seminary in Montreal. He left that system and he married a lady in Detroit. So she said to him, there are two preachers in town, would you like to meet them? Oh, he said, by all means, I like to meet preachers. So along we went. His name was Jack Lefebvre. I said, Jack, let me ask you a question. Was there ever a time that you received the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior? He said, you know, I have taught religion and theology, but I must be honest. I have never received the Lord Jesus as a personal Savior. There's a void in my life. Well, I said, Jack, here is the solution. Went back to one of my favorite verses, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. I was amazed. My colleague and I were amazed. He said, let's get on with it. And step by step, and finally that man accepted the Lord as a personal Savior. I said, Jack, God has given you a great gift, hasn't he? Oh, he said, yes. I said, do you think you could thank him again? Down on his knees, and he thanked God for saving his soul. He didn't go to the cardinal. He didn't go to the Pope. He went to Jesus. Suddenly, a gentleman to our left, who had not been introduced, started jumping around, hitting his chest, and he's pointing upward. And I said to Mrs. Lefebvre, or my colleague, says, what is going on? She says, that's my brother Elmer. He's a deaf mute. And he's just gotten saved. I said, but we had no communication. I can't give sign language. We had no communication with him. No, but when you were talking to Jack, he was reading your lips. And as we went out the door, he took my colleague and I in his arms and the tears coursing down his cheeks, and he goes, this way, the deaf mute. As much as to say, simply to thy cross I cling, O Lamb of God, I come. John Barclay, an elder in the assembly in Martin Road, Detroit, had the funeral of the ex-Jesuit priest who became a real priest. The moment he put his trust in the Savior. The peace of faith. And finally, we have the progress of faith. We have looked at the prophet of faith, which is the Lord Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. We've looked at the place. And oh, thank God for the place called Calvary. Oh, the confusion with Yasser Arafat and the Prime Minister of Israel. What are they going to do with Jerusalem? Well, I'll tell you what God's going to do with it. He's going to bring his son and he'll rule from Jerusalem, from shore to shore. The most sacred place and the most significant place on earth is not Washington or Ottawa or Moscow or London. The most significant place in the universe is Calvary. May we ever, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, hold on tenaciously to that priceless privilege of remembering him. The progress of faith. It says here that he, thy son, and himself believed, and his whole house. He believed the Lord had the ability to heal his boy. He believed that the Lord could heal physically. But he discovered something more. That the Lord could heal spiritually. So actually it was a double miracle. There was the healing of a man, his boy. And the double miracle was his whole house came to Christ. And that is ever a joy when the whole family come to Christ. Meetings in Detroit, Michigan, again, we've been there so many times. My beloved colleague that night preached on I am the door. And I finished up that night and the door was shut. Genesis 6. Love the teenager, 16, 17 years old, very popular in school, was at that meeting. It was about 40 went down into the basement to pray that God might save souls. Suddenly she came bounding up the steps. I've known her since she was a little child. She put her arms around my waist and she says, "Oh, Uncle Neil, I want to get saved." I says, "Laura, why do you want to get saved?" She said, "I don't want to be outside when that door is shut." I took her aside and opened up the scriptures to her. As soon as she was saved, she came bounding down the aisle like a DC-9 taking off from the International Airport, right into her mother's arms. And her mother, Jessie, said, "Oh, honey, now the whole family is complete. We're all saved and going home to glory." We went into the foyer, and there was another prayer meeting. Her Uncle Johnny was on his knees praying, and there was her dad. That kid never stopped. She jumped right into the room and landed on her father's lap. And when he opened his eyes, I will never forget that sight in all my life. Tears of joy as his dad saw his little girl say, "All going home to glory." That's the progress of faith. This is the second miracle. And so we've seen Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. Jehovah Rapha. He is the God that healeth. Friends, if you're here tonight not saved, your soul needs to be healed. Wonderful to see the evidence of God healing the body. I'm an absolute miracle. Twice in my lifetime, the Lord has wrought a miracle in my life physically. But the greatest experience I ever had was as a boy of 13 years of age back in Scotland when I was healed spiritually when I came to the Savior. He's here tonight. He wants to save you. Why don't you come? Once again, we can be a help to you. Be absolutely quick to respond. But time is running out. We might not be here tomorrow. Shall we pray? Father, we thank thee once again for Jehovah Shammah and for Jehovah Rapha. Our Father, we salute the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. No subject so glorious as he, no theme so affecting to us. We thank thee for the hymn we sung tonight, "More About Jesus Would We Know." We thank thee, Father, the subject is inexhaustible. And our hearts go out tonight to unsaved friends on this island. Lord, bring them in before it be too late. Take care of thy word tonight, as we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Shall we close in singing? Number 790. 790. My soul inside exile was out in life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, "Make me your choice." And I entered the haven of rest. Number 790. And the meeting will be over.